A lot has happened since the 2022 Crypto Bowl. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Hard to believe it's been just a year since crypto ads made a splash in the Super Bowl, because a whole lot has gone down and down and down in crypto since then. I got journalist and author Jacob Silverman on the line to look back at some of the big moments from the Crypto Bowl that might not have aged so well. We started with one of the more obscure commercials from the trading platform eToro.
Fly me to the moon, let me
Not a super high concept one, but my producer Daniel Shin, I think, gave the best description I could give, which is it's like a bunch of people who are high on crypto floating off into the sky like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, a weird sort of utopia.
Although it does look ominous at the end, that kind of cloud of people.
Yeah, it could be a disaster movie in the making.
Okay, next up, we've got the exchange crypto.com ad featuring LeBron James and a digitally rendered younger version of himself.
Is the hype too much? Am I ready?
I can't tell you everything, but if you want to make history, you got to call your own shots.
I think this one's interesting because obviously this is young LeBron thinking about going to the NBA, but really the ad is trying to tell you generational wealth is now being built on crypto. You know, some people have called this sort of thing affinity fraud, which is when you try to appeal towards a certain group, whether it might be a marginalized group, it might be just some sort of a group who has something in common. You use some representative of that community to sell on your behalf and to paint your product as usually somehow liberating. And I think that's the message that's often being sold to people of color in the U.S. about crypto, who are traditionally actually statistically overrepresented among crypto investors. Because many of them were victimized or discriminated against by big banks. They did face redlining and things like that. And now crypto is supposed to be somehow a step forward. And to someone who's a skeptic like me, I find that a little bit insidious. But I think that's the message that's really being sent here.
Next up, we've got the Coinbase ad, which, what can I say? It's just a QR code bouncing around the screen for a full minute.
This ad was also funny because afterwards, the Coinbase CEO took credit for it, practically, or at least had his company take credit for it on Twitter and was basically calling it somehow this revolutionary creative act. And then someone very politely from the ad company that worked on the ad told him on Twitter, actually, we came up with this and you paid us a lot of money to. And he kind of stepped back.
And didn't this crash their site?
Yeah, it certainly got a lot of interest in their app at first, but they couldn't handle all the traffic, which you would think is something you would try to plan for.
Right, right. But yeah, this was kind of a flex of like, this is a nothing ad that was very expensive.
Yeah, like, look what we can do. Remember QR codes? They're back because of COVID. Now click on ours.
And then the infamous FTX ad in which Larry David reacts in Larry David fashion to a series of iconic inventions through history.
I call it the wheel.
I don't think so.
What does it do?
It rolls.
Yeah, so does a bagel, okay? A bagel you can eat.
Of course, the final great invention is FTX.
It's a safe and easy way to get into crypto.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I'm never wrong about this stuff. Never.
See, I kind of love that at the beginning. He already says it rolls. The wheel rolls. You never hear anything in here about what crypto does or why it's good. It's extremely well produced.
Yeah.
FTX spent untold amounts of money on celebrities and commercials. And, you know, another thing is the Miami Heat Stadium, which they bought the rights to because they were going to have their headquarters in Miami. Mm-hmm. That agreement, I think, was supposed to last 18 or 19 years. It lasted less than two. So it is rather remarkable just how quickly they burn through so much money.
And do you remember seeing these ads in real time?
I do. Yeah, I was at home And I was texting with my co-author, Ben McKenzie, actor and writer, who was at the Super Bowl. And I was the one complaining to him over text, like, oh, God, they're doing the fortune favors the bold thing again. And being very grumpy about it all.
I mean, I think it's safe to say FTX, probably the biggest explosion since we saw these ads last year. But, I mean, did any of these companies kind of make it through the last year unscathed?
No. eToro, the first one we saw, they're still around, which is something to be said in this crypto market. They're based in Israel. They kind of offer a variety of financial products, but definitely crypto is a big part of what they do. They wanted to go public in the U.S. for a while via a SPAC, you know, the special purpose acquisition companies. It turns out the SEC basically denied them permission to go public. They haven't made the inroads into the U.S. market that I think they were hoping for. And that was what that commercial, I think, was sort of supposed to celebrate and announce was, hey, we're going public in the U.S. Mm. or we're here now. Crypto.com, they've had a lot of layoffs like most of these companies. They've managed to stay solvent, which is really saying something. It turns out that the CEO's past company kind of collapsed under sordid circumstances. So they're still here, but they are definitely beleaguered.
And then what about Coinbase?
Coinbase is the only publicly traded company of this group. And so we get a little bit more insight into how they're doing and their financials. They're both suing the government on a couple issues, like on behalf of that crypto mixer that was shut down. They were offering to put out information to their users so you could see who your political representative was and how they stood on crypto. So they've been involved in sort of a lot of these kind of crypto political and culture wars, I would say, that have been going on a more material level. They're losing hundreds of millions of dollars per quarter. And, you know, people do need Coinbase to succeed because they are supposed to be this model of how a regulated crypto exchange that's based in the U.S., that's covered by American law and traded on U.S. markets can succeed. And right now they are kind of struggling. They've also laid off a bunch of people.
So as we watched all of these ads together in succession, what are the kind of messages that come through to you? And in hindsight, what did that moment mean?
It's really interesting because crypto asset prices, we can now say in hindsight, they peaked in November of 2021. Exchange volume in terms of the amount that people were trading peaked before that in May of 2021. So this was sort of the last burst in some ways of the hype, of the real boom, before things really started to collapse in April and May of 2022, that spring. People didn't, I think, really understand the problems that lay ahead in terms of fraud over leverage, the decline in prices, and people really losing interest and how messy it would all be just a few months later. So it kind of seems like crypto's last party and no one really knows it.
And as you noted, you know, these commercials are really not sort of giving you any sense of what these companies do, what crypto markets are. The message is really sort of, don't miss out. It's this FOMO thing. You know, everyone's doing it. This is how you get money. That's what you want.
Yeah. And I think that's always been a tough thing for crypto to explain itself to really. I mean, people talk about what's the use case and you hear things about payments or remittances or things like that. But there still isn't a solid, concise, one sentence use case for crypto that is as easy to say as, you know, Facebook connects you with your friends or Uber lets you order a cab. But they never do it for crypto. It's just supposed to be the next big thing.
Yeah. Can you draw a line between the vision that these companies were promoting a year ago and where things have ended up?
A year ago, we were still hearing the story that crypto was sort of liberating, that it was more progressive somehow. The summer before, there had been a Spike Lee commercial that was casting crypto and Bitcoin in particular as liberation from the big banks. So some of that sensibility still remained. But really, by the time we get to the Super Bowl, it's more, I think, about people getting rich and FOMOing their way into all of this. You had the NFT boom going on, again, very short-lived. But there was still this sense that there was kind of free money out there and that it was all a party and you just had to go and grab it and that the number would keep going up, even though people didn't realize that it was already going down and wouldn't be coming back.
What about the celebrities that appeared not just in these ads, but in, you know, many other ads earlier and between then and now? have there been any repercussions for them?
Yeah, there have been some lawsuits already. So, and there's some there's a class action lawsuit involving FTX and some of the celebrity promoters. And I think Larry David is named in that. You know, how many of these lawsuits will actually end in some sort of monetary settlement, much less go to trial? I don't know. A lot will probably be dismissed, but there's going to be a lot of litigation. There already is. In a more prominent case, Kim Kardashian was cited and reached $1 million settlement with the SEC for not defining her promotion of a cryptocurrency. So there is a lot of potential here for celebrities to sort of take a reputational hit, because a lot of them promoted the equivalent of penny stocks, if not worse, some kind of fraud. And either they were naive or they just, you know, took bad advice or whatever else. And some of them will be sued and may have some financial penalty to pay at some point. Either way, I think it doesn't look very good. And I think also it doesn't look very good that there hasn't been any contrition really out there. You know, maybe that's a legal precaution. No one wants to say that they messed up or that they're sorry. But regular people really did get hurt. And a lot of them got hurt because they believed the hype and they believed the marketing and they liked the people who were selling it to them.
The 2022 Crypto Bowl often gets compared to the dot-com Super Bowl in 2000, when there were all these dot-com ads, after which a number of those companies went bust. I mean, does this seem like an apt comparison?
I can see why people make that comparison. And certainly in like this boom and bust cycle, yes. But I feel like people tell that story because they want to say, hey, something came out of that dot-com era, notably Amazon.com, I believe, and Yahoo's still around, though it's no longer independent. You know, perhaps there will be one or two of these crypto companies from last year's Super Bowl who will endure. And certainly there was a lot of junk in the first dot-com boom and a lot of absurdity, just like there is here in crypto. But I still fall back on the idea that the use cases haven't been properly argued. It hasn't been made to seem essential to people in the last year. It's become, I think, actually just more of a cautionary tale and something that people are a little jaded about now or cynical about, because there isn't that one clear winner that is doing something with crypto that, hey, maybe I do need to trust them and get in on this thing. I don't think that feeling is really out there. And I think it shows in the numbers of users.
And I mean, these crypto ads have sort of an implicit call to action to invest, maybe without completely understanding the landscape, that may be more harmful than, you know, enticing you to buy your dog food from pets.com.
Right, right. And, you know, I think that's the difference, too, is and that's also why celebrities might be a little more implicated here, is, you know, it's one thing if you're promoting some website or dog food or a membership that you can cancel. But it's another thing when you're promoting a volatile financial instrument that is not very well regulated and that could go to zero. People took loans out on it, or people bought on margin, things like that. Like, it's really a lot more precarious and potentially dangerous to someone's finances than simply making a one-time bad purchase. And people aren't just promoting some product. They're leading someone into a casino.
Jacob Silverman is the co-author of the forthcoming book, Easy Money: Cryptocurrency, Casino Capitalism, and the Golden Age of Fraud. Daniel Shin produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.